Hey, good morning, everybody. Hey, it's so good to see everybody the Sunday after Christmas. You know, typically this is the lowest attended Sunday of the year, but we've got a great crowd. We had a great time just hanging out with each other, eating breakfast. And so, listen, I just want to share for just a few minutes. We've been in our series Kingdom Come for just a couple weeks, and they've been very Christmas-focused, and that the turn of the year, we will talk more about this new kingdom and what it means for us as we try to live for Jesus in our world now. But today, I just want to read a few verses, okay? And since we're right after Christmas, just a few days, I want to take just a few minutes to look at a few unlikely characters in the story of the birth of Jesus, this new king that is coming to establish his kingdom. So let's grab your Bibles if you've got them. Let's look at Matthew chapter 2. We are going to start at verse 1. Why don't you just guys follow along with me as I read. It says in verse 1, "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, wise men from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star at its rising and have come to worship him.' Well, when King Herod heard this, he was deeply disturbed and all Jerusalem with him. So he assembled all the chief priests and the scribes of the people and asked them where the Christ would be born. 'In Bethlehem of Judea,' they told him, 'because this is what was written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, because out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly summoned the wise men and asked them the exact time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the child. When you find him, report back to me so that I too can go and worship him.' After hearing the king, they went on their way, and there it was, the star they had been seeing had seen at its rising. It led them until it came and stopped above the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overwhelmed with joy. Entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and falling to their knees, they worshipped him. Then they opened their gifts and presented him with gifts. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country by another route." And so, listen, I just want to give you a little bit of background this morning. I'm just going to talk a few minutes. But as we look forward to this new year, I want you to see this sort of unlikely cast of characters surrounding the birth of Jesus. And here we have these magi, often called wise men. We have these magi. But do you know what they really were? Do you know really what they did? These were pagan astrologers, most likely from the court of the king of Persia, okay, possibly also from the area of Arabia, and in the world of that time, that would have been considered east of Jerusalem, okay? But they showed up approximately about 2 years later, all right? So even though we see them typically in the nativity, we recognize that it would have taken up to 2 years for them to get here. It says they found the child in a house. And so here they show up a couple years later, and we've got these astrologers who tradition says they practiced divination, which was forbidden by Scripture. Divination really is the practice of discovering supernatural wisdom or knowledge through natural phenomena, like looking at the stars and trying to interpret that, or through the occult, through occultic means. And so here we have these pagan astrologers recognizing in the heavens, in the stars, that something was going on. And then they follow the star till they find Jesus. And so, divination was wrong and forbidden all throughout Scripture because God wanted His people to rely on Him for knowledge and revelation and wisdom. But God chose in this instance to partially reveal Himself and His plan to these pagan astrologers in the stars. Isn't that amazing? Even though they were doing something forbidden by Scripture, God, in His grace, revealed His plans, even in part, to these people that were looking to the stars, practicing something that was forbidden. Now listen, it is quite possible they were only responding and paying homage to a new king as they would any other. This would have been tradition for them. Often kings and royalty in other nations and other kingdoms, they would go pay homage and respect to the birth of a future ruler, of a future king, or someone that has newly ascended to the throne. So it's quite possible they were just responding in a very natural way. Maybe they didn't understand the implications of this. But through their journey in meeting Jewish leaders, through Herod, They learned about the Messiah as predicted by the prophet Micah. That's who the chief priests, the scribes, that's who they were quoting when King Herod had them come in and go, "What in the world are these guys talking about? What is going on? You know your history. You know prophecy as it concerns the Jewish people. Tell us what's going on." And they told him, they read out of Micah here, this prophecy, this prediction that a king would rise up in Bethlehem. And Matthew, writing to a primarily Jewish audience, he highlighted the response of pagans to the birth of Jesus. And why did he do this? This was potentially very offensive to them when the Jewish people saw that pagan people responded more enthusiastically to the prophecies and predictions and the arrival of the Messiah than they did. You can see how that might be offensive. Matthew also shows the indifference and apathy of the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They should have been the ones looking for the Messiah. They should have been the ones ready for the arrival of the new king. They've been waiting years and years and years, hundreds of years, thousands of years, for these prophecies to be fulfilled. They desperately wanted to be delivered from the rule of Rome. They should have been the ones looking. But here we have this group that should have been leaders. Here we have this group of Jewish leaders that at that point were really yes men for the king, for Herod. According to Jewish historian Josephus, Herod executed earlier members of the Sanhedrin and replaced them with Jewish priests and leaders of his choosing. So King Herod got rid of people that might potentially oppose him or even speak the truth, and he surrounded himself with Jewish religious leaders who would be loyal to him even above Scripture, men who were more concerned with their positions of wealth and influence than watching and waiting for God's promises to their people to be fulfilled. And maybe that's why God chose these magi. Maybe that's why He chose these wise men, these pagan astrologers. Maybe that's why in His grace He gave them a sign, He gave them a glimpse of His plan. And so listen, here's just a couple thoughts. As we stream forward towards 2021, okay, 2020 was a weird year for a lot of us. Maybe it wasn't a bad year for you, but admittedly, it was a weird year. But as we go towards 2021, as we look ahead, often the new year is a time of hope, of renewing certain promises, of commitments, or making new ones. Let's determine in our hearts to be watching and waiting and responsive to God's plan in our lives, okay, our families, and in this church. Because the story of God's kingdom is filled with the ordinary, unlikely people who simply said yes to Jesus. And they responded to what God was doing. And let's continue to pray for the lost people of this town, the lost people that we know, our friends, our family, that are not followers of Jesus. Because as we see here in this story, God can reveal Himself in a way to those that may not even be looking for Him. Maybe they're looking in the wrong place for hope. But God can reveal Himself in a way, to people who are lost, that might lead them down a journey towards finding Him. And so, church, two things. Let's be responsive to what God wants to do in our lives in 2021, even if it surprises us, okay? And let's not give up praying for those people in our lives that desperately need to find the Lord, to find Jesus. Maybe they're not looking for Him. Maybe they're looking in all the wrong places. But God, in His wisdom, His grace, He can reveal Himself to them in a way that might lead them ultimately to finding Him and finding truth, hope in life. And so let's commit to do that this year. So I'm just going to ask you to pray with me before we go. And so good to see everybody. Let's pray together. Lord, I love You. I thank You for what You are doing in this church. I thank You for Your constant presence, even in the midst of a weird, weird, troubled year of 2020. But God, our trust is not in our circumstances. It is not in our government. God, it is not in our own power, strength, or wisdom, but it is in You. And so, Lord, we commit to be responsive to You. God, as You are moving, I pray that we'd be quick to follow. As You are directing, Lord, we would be quick to be obedient. So, Lord, I pray for this church, for all of our families, for every individual that is here, that we would be a people that's responsive to You. And God, we also pray for our friends, our family, people we work with, people we go to school with, people that do not know You. And God, their lives might be headed down the wrong path. They may be without hope, without You in this world. But Lord, we pray that You would reveal Yourself to them, that You would begin a journey of discovery for them that would ultimately lead them to the end of themselves and the beginning of a relationship with You. So God, we pray that for our people in this church that don't know You, people that are listening or watching online, God, people in our family, our extended family, Lord, our circle of friends, fellow employees, fellow students. God, reveal yourself to those in our lives that need Him. And I pray that you would help us to be ready to be a part of that journey and commit, Lord, to help lead them to you and to stand with them and to pray for them and then pray with them. So God, do what only you can do in the lives of those that desperately need it. And so, Lord, we thank you. Thank you for what you're doing in Cornerstone Church. God, we commit ourselves, this church, to you for this new year. In Jesus' name, amen.